Welcome to From the Hat, a podcast, the program where every episode is a different topic, and all of the topics for the shows are drawn from the hat. Anything is fair game. So we have I'm really excited about today's episode. I have a very special guest. I'm honored to have Amy Montana Hitchcock. Amy is an author and illustrator, and I've had the privilege of being the narrator for two of her books. And one of them, the audiobook recently released, called The Man in the Moon and Other Tales to Treasure. And one hopefully will be released in very short order of the date of this podcast, called Scary Larry, and other sort of scary tales. But Amy, thank you for being here. I'm excited to have you here.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Oh, it is great. I am excited. In fact,
I am too. I'm beyond excited.
it's really cool. Amy, you've had recently, I mean, we have talked via text and stuff, but this is only, I think, the second time we've ever spoken. I think I made
one phone call prior to this.
Yeah. So this is actually, for me, this is new for me. We've interacted a lot by email and other messages and texts, but this is the second time we've ever spoken. But
And it feels like I already know you because we've chatted so much just electronically.
Right. Now it's been great, and I agree. And I think we've both done the appropriate levels of internet stalking of each other.
Yes, we have.
I've gone onto your website and seen your books and social medias and done stuff, and I you've done the same. So there is a level of connection, absolutely, that's already established. Yes. Here.
So I've poured over all of your info.
Oh boy, that could be scary. I am just really excited to have you here. And when the thought hit, I went, oh, I should have Amy on.
So glad that you thought of me.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And then even after, in text conversations, you've shared some stuff that I went, oh, that's brilliant. I really want to have Amy on. So we'll dive into some of those things. But just a few things, because we do it before every episode, we're going to have a few get to know you questions. And, we'll get to know you a little better. So let me get the questions out so we can pull them from the hat. All right. So first, just random question for you. How?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. How would others have described you as a child?
Wow. I think that people would have described me as shy when you would first get to know me. I hear a lot from my family that I was always a big reader. I loved to read. And I was happy to play by myself.
Okay, nice. That means
shy and a bookworm.
Yeah. But that means you can entertain yourself. That means you've got a good imagination.
I'm not easily bored.
Which is a wonderful thing. All right. Okay. So let's see what other questions we have here. All right. Well, speaking of books, what was your favorite book or story as a child?
Let's see. There was so many. One of the books that I can really remember having an impact on me was The Velveteen Rabbit.
Okay.
Or the story about the Velveteen Rabbit. And Charlotte's Web. I love that book.
Mm.
And pretty much anything by Dr. Seuss, the Green Eggs and Ham. God, I loved that book.
Oh, yeah,
I wore it out.
Yeah, that's good. My wife just got that book for me, Green Eggs and Ham, in Spanish. Because we speak Spanish in my household, not all the time, but enough. And my comprehension's pretty good. People can speak Spanish, and I get it. But sometimes I don't express it as much. So she got me the book so I can read Green Eggs and Ham out loud. Which
that was so thoughtful. That's a really good incentive too.
It's awesome. It gets my mouth working in ways that go, oh hey, you know, I'm using Duolingo. I've been using it for years, but it's just fun to read. In the Spanish book, his name's not Sam I Am. It's Juan Ramon, which is fun because
I love it.
It rhymes with jamón, ham. So Juan Ramon, just like Sam I Am, rhymes with ham, Juan Ramon. So it keeps the rhyming structure, so it's a lot of fun. But Juan Ramon, so Juan I love Green Eggs and Ham. Those are all good books. And so did you watch, when you were, I think we're roughly the same age, but when you were in elementary school, did you watch Charlotte's Web?
I did never watch it.
I remember we watched it, probably second, third, and maybe another grade. And I just remember at the very end, like, all the girls would be crying. And half the boys. It's like, oh, no.
It's a sad story.
But it's a sad story of continuation of life as well. I mean, it's about, you know, the whole thing. And you know, the little spider stayed around and kept good old Wilbur.
Yeah.
Wilbur lived. That's the big part.
Wilbur, he was saved.
He was.
Surprise pig.
He was. That's some pig.
That is some pig.
You bet. All right, one more question. Let's do one more, and then we'll dive into some other topics. Okay. If money were no concern, what country or region of the world would you go on vacation to or visit?
I would have to say I would go to Europe.
Okay.
Probably Paris, France would be the first place I would go. I would want to go to the Louvre.
Okay. Go see the art there.
See the Mona Lisa. Nice. That's a bucket list for me.
Okay. I am embarrassingly enough have been to Paris. And I did not go to the Louvre. Not because I actually would have really, really loved to have gone. I love art. I love museums. I love all of that stuff. But I was there. I was in Europe on a business. I was working. It was a business trip. And I was in London for work. But it was close to my anniversary. And so I thought, oh, let's bring my wife. Because I'm only a few hours away from Paris. So she came to London. I did my work in London, and then we decided, let's go to Paris. But we only had 2 days there. And so we pretty much spent a lot of it just walking and, you know, seeing Notre Dame and seeing the Eiffel Tower and just seeing sights. I remember walking by the Louvre. But we did not walk in. It wasn't on the thing. You know, just kind of like, and things to do. And so it was because we had to go back, and then we spent a day in Dublin in Ireland, which was awesome. But it was just because it was a personal vacation crammed into a business trip. It didn't.
Yeah,
the
you
Louvre
just
didn't happen.
Tried to see as much as you could.
Yeah, yeah.
In the time you had, my daughter gets to go on a Europe trip for 11 days this summer, and I'm just beside myself that I can't go to.
Do you need chaperones?
Yeah. I think they might.
Yeah, well, sign up. Do that one. That'd be a great one.
I know.
That would be a
great
one.
It would be so amazing, especially if we could go together, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's always fun to share.
Missed opportunities.
Yeah.
It is.
It's always fun to share those things with you know, with family or others, just because then the stories continue, because then when you hang out later, you're still talking about it. You're still saying, oh hey, remember when we did this? And you know, my wife always, remember when we were in Paris and it was raining the entire time and we got drenched all the time? And, I mean, there's just glad we had an umbrella. Awesome.
It would be great.
So Europe, Paris first, you said that's the bucket list, but do you have any other, like, well, you're in Europe, what would you do?
Well, I think I would just try to travel around as much as I
Okay.
could.
Yeah.
I don't know if that, if money was no object, I'd want to go somewhere tropical too.
Okay. Like just world, just
Belize.
I'd like to visit the Earth and just go everywhere.
Yes, the earth in all its splendor. Let me just globetrot.
No, that'd be awesome. That would be awesome. Now, traveling's great. I love traveling is a great thing. So,
Yeah, I like
oh,
those new experiences.
absolutely. So, we're going to dive in. We're going to do this a little differently today because normally we've got some topics that we pull out of the hat, and because of, I think, our unique situation, we're going to just talk about you. And instead of pulling things
Oh.
from the hat, instead of pulling things from the hat, let's talk about your books and let's talk
Okay.
about the process. And so, just, I already mentioned two of the books I've narrated for, which are available on Audible, Barnes and Noble. The audiobooks are, so the physical books are on Amazon, Barnes and Noble,
Amazon and yes,
and the
and in person.
and in person. So if you're in
And in
Texas,
person.
if you're in East
Yeah.
Texas, we've got some books for you.
I can hook you up.
I in fact just got so I just got a package a couple days ago in the mail
Oh,
from
did you?
Amy. And so we are reading the books, and my son, who is 8 years old, just couldn't put them down. And he's heard me read because I've had the scripts for a while because I've been reading them.
Yeah.
But he was so just enthralled with the poems and with the illustrations, and I mean, he wouldn't put them down. I mean, he was sitting just reading and
Oh.
reading. We were reading them together, and I was reading them. And I mean, I've almost got them memorized, so it's not, it was like this was, but I was loving it. I was loving
That
them.
makes me so happy.
Yeah, so it was a great time. We really, really, really enjoyed it. So, but please, I'll put links for the books, probably on Amazon because that's just the easiest. I'll isolate people.
Yeah.
Send you to Amazon. You can go buy the books, and then the audiobooks are available on iTunes audiobooks and as well as Audible if you listen on Audible. And so they are out there. So hopefully, go check them out. And one of the things I really loved, and I think when you first reached out to me, because I've been doing, I just recently finished like some more documentary narration projects before you had reached out to me for to do these books. And a lot of times that's where my work has been, in more like, documentary narration. I'm the voice of authority, so more authoritative type
Right.
things. But when you reached out about these books, I was so excited because I was a teacher for 15 years, and
Oh,
I taught
yeah.
kindergarten, and low I
Oh,
taught lower grades. I
that'll
mean, I've taught everything, but like I taught lower grades for a long time, and I
Yeah,
love.
that's right up your alley.
Oh yeah, I love reading children's books. So it was like I was so excited to actually be able to read, some books that are themed, more towards children. So I took to it. I was very, very, very excited. But yeah, so
Yeah, I heard your reading. The first time I heard your voice was the reading of the cowboy poetry. And the moment I heard it, I was like, this is the one.
that's awesome.
I have to have him read my books.
The cool thing about that poem that you heard, it's called Hair Trigger Newt, and it's an old cowboy poem, I believe written in the early 20th century. And but that poem was actually one that I grew up that my father would just tell, like for fun, just kind of a fun little poem. And he learned it because his father would do it. And so it
Oh,
that Hair
wow.
Trigger Newt's just kind of it's part of my heritage. This little fun story, Hair
This
Trigger
is
Newt.
like the Charlotte Web of poetry
You
here.
bet. So that poem has a very, very special place in my heart. And so and that's why I have it. I recorded it years ago, just thinking, oh, I love this poem. I'm gonna record it and do a little character voice to it. And it's yeah, love
Well,
it.
you hooked me.
Well, I'm glad. I'm going to thank my grandfather when I see him in the next life.
Yes.
He's been gone since I've been like 2, so I can't thank him now.
Oh, wow.
But so with these books, Amy, like there, you haven't been an author for, you know, most of your adult life. If
about
I'm recalling.
2 months now.
Yeah. So just to, so
I'm
so
new.
You got into writing after you got into painting. And
well,
or
I used to write poetry, but
okay.
I never wrote anything formally, just you know, I would jot down like little poems and short stories in notebooks. But yeah, it was really the painting that kind of triggered the whole author movement for me.
Now what got you into the painting? What started that one?
Well, about 2 years ago, I was looking through a bunch of paintings and drawings. We moved into a new home, and as we were unpacking, my daughter found some of my old artwork and my poems, and you know, she really just tried to encourage me to draw and paint with her. And back then, like it was a long time ago. But,
you know, with COVID, everything's back
it
then.
It seems like so long ago.
Everything's back then. Absolutely. It could be just a year ago, but no, yeah. Way back then. Yeah.
Yeah, way back when people were painting rocks and, you know, leaving them for people to find and trying to spread kindness. And I got into the whole rock painting movement. So it just kind of morphed into me watching all these YouTube videos, and I decided I was going to teach myself how to watercolor paint. I don't know why watercolor. It's just, I guess I took it from the hat and I just went with it. And
love it.
I had a lot of people in my life that were encouraging me to put some of my artwork into this art show. And, you know, here I am at the age of 40 trying to learn how to paint from YouTube. And I enter this art contest thinking that, you know, I don't really stand a chance against these seasoned artists who are formally trained and have been doing this for years. And lo and behold, I won best in show, and it just kind of spiraled from there into... Wow. You know, a belief in myself that I really could share my talent with the world.
Yeah.
So that's just what I'm trying to do, is just, you know, trying to get myself out there and share a piece of me with the world.
Yeah. Well, that's incredible. Now that painting that you entered into the art show, that was the that was Scary Larry, right? The anglerfish.
Yes, that ended up being Scary Larry, and I wrote a little poem about him, and it just kind of went from there. I started thinking up all these characters, and you know, yeah. I would make a little story and then paint a picture for the story, and it you know, just naturally progressed from there.
So did it typically follow that pattern, the story went and then the painting, or did you ever, because Scary Larry was obviously the painting first and then the story came, but is it typically... It doesn't, either way.
At first, it was more of the painting first. And now it's kind of morphed into where I just come up with these stories, and then after I get them written, I just illustrate the story.
Okay.
So it's kind of flip-flopped from,
yeah,
from what it was in the beginning.
Yeah. No, the creative process, it's an amazing thing.
It is.
I mean, it does change. It changes as it morphs. It's fluid, but
yeah. And sometimes it makes no sense at all. You just go with what you feel.
Yeah. Now, is there anything like when you get into that creative but when you want to get into the creative process? Because I understand that with many things, sometimes you're like, hey, I'm here, I'm ready to work, and it's just not there. And so yes. Is there anything you do to kind of stimulate, to, you know, any like a muse you have, or maybe get your mindset there, or is it just something that you go spontaneous? Like you wake up at 3 a.m. and go, oh, hey, here it is. And you write it down.
Yes, that's how I am. I don't really have a muse or anything specific that I try to do to get my creative juices flowing. it just hits me, and it's the most random times. I have to carry around a notebook with me, you know, make a mad dash out of the shower to write down a few lines so I don't forget it. Yeah, I just never know where it's going to come from. Sometimes it's situational, but most of the time it is just a completely random thought that just, oop, here I am, write me down.
You know what, though? That's awesome, because that takes actually, I think in some ways, a lot more discipline, because you get that idea. And so many times we're so busy in our lives that we just brush them aside. We take these ideas, we go, oh, no, I'm busy doing this. But to be able to have the discipline to go, I need to record this, I think is an important thing. I mean, there's a quote that I heard maybe about a month ago. I had a colleague share this, and he said, a dull pencil is better than a sharp mind.
Oh, it is. You've worn that pencil out completely.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you're ready with your pencil, those ideas come and you get them down instead of going, okay, here we go. I'm going to just be brilliant on cue. I think that's such an important thing. I mean, to be able to know, okay, I got to take this, I got to write it down, I've got to record it, and then to be able to come back to it and you re-access that, you know, that mode to go, okay, here we are.
Definitely. If I don't write it down, it's gone forever. And that could be valuable.
Right. Absolutely. And you never know.
You don't ever know.
What, because you go back and again, I'm not much of an illustrator. I always say I'm not even much of a writer, but I do actually write a little poetry here and there. One of my things is haiku.
Oh, yes.
I love haiku. I always have. And in fact, I used to write it when I was sitting in work and I'd be, we'd be sitting in a training or something. I would like write haikus about lunch, or about how boring the speaker is, or how much I wanted lunch. And, you know, like, I'd be passing notes to my coworkers that were just haikus. And it kind of became my thing. And I've always done it since high school. But, like, I find often I do the same thing, but I don't seem to be as organized, where I can write down a haiku and remember it, and then I lose the paper. And then there's been some where I found, like, years later, I went, wait, did I write this? And then I have to, like, Google it to go, oh, wait, did I write this? So I Google it to see if it was me, like, because if I can find it online, I copied it from somewhere. I wrote it down.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, that was me. Right on.
Yes, I was so awesome.
I'm like, brilliant. Yes, yeah. Momentary brilliance from years ago.
Good job, self.
I know, right? And it's those moments where I go, you know what? I can do this. I can write. I can, you know, do those things. And it's nice to have those validating things personally, but also, you know, I think that story of you at the art show is just awesome, that you went and nervous about all. I mean, I'd be so nervous going in with, you know, my year of practice and with people that, I mean, and exactly. I have friends that are fine artists that's like, they are painting amazing things, and it's just like mind boggling, like, to even think that I would do anything like that. And you won.
I walked in as I was one of the last people, I think, to enter. So all this artwork is already hung up and displayed. And I was like, oh, these people are talented. I have to go.
Walking the gauntlet, seeing everything, all your competition, going, oh, man.
I was walking the plank.
So how close were you? Like. How close were you to just turning around and walking out of the building?
Oh, if someone had not have spoken to me when they did, I would have been gone.
Okay.
It was that intimidating.
Yeah.
It really was.
I love that. I love that. Like, just go.
Oh, yeah.
Who was it that spoke to you? Was it just someone who was sitting there and said, oh, hey, you looking for something?
It was a volunteer in the program. Okay. That it was her and another gentleman sitting at a table doing the intakes. And they had somebody with them at the time, and I guess they were just finishing up. And if they would not have spoken to me when they did, I was pretty much decided I was on my way out, like, oh, this is not even going to be a competition. And actually the award that I won was Best in Show, which they saved it for the last
Yeah,
announcement.
that's the big one.
Yeah, and so I'm just sitting here like, well, guys, it's okay, because they had already called out the winners in my category. And I was like, you know, this was a great experience for me. And then they called my name, and I just sat there like completely dumbfounded. And I had to tell myself, Amy, get up. Amy, go. You have to go up to the front. Everyone's looking. I literally cannot even describe how stunned I was.
Oh, that's
Still to this day, I'm completely blown away.
Yeah. Well, I know I'm probably going to say this multiple times, but if you're listening, go look at the books and the artwork. It is so fun and stunning, and the colors. Now, you're doing acrylic on watercolor, right? Is that what you're doing? Or is it just watercolor? Or some
Scary
of them?
Larry, scary. Some of them, it's all watercolor background. I would say at least 90% of them are just straight watercolor. But Scary Larry is a watercolor background, and the body of the fish is mainly watercolor. But the little details that you see on him are acrylic. So he's like a mixed media.
Mixed media. It's fancy when you're able to say that.
Yes,
I like it.
fancy.
I like it. Now that is great. But yeah, I love the artwork. And again, when you first reached out to me, just and I immediately go and, well, who is this? Because I
Who
have had
is
authors,
this
I have had
person?
authors reach out, and I'm like, no, like they just they're not credible, and they don't, you can always a good Google search, you can usually figure that out. And
Yeah.
so I, went on and I went to your website and I saw the pictures, and I think you had the Man in the Moon is there, and you had the Scary
Scary
Larry
Larry,
painting, but
the
not the
Hook Man.
poem. It was the Hook
Right.
Man that I read. Yeah.
The Hook Man was
And I was
there.
like, oh, I like these. And
The
I
Hook
was
Man is my dad.
r really.
The whole charade of characters in Scary Larry is all
No.
characters based on my family. And my dad's name is Cecil, and he does drive a bus.
He does drive. Does he have a hook?
He does. He does
Okay.
not have a hook.
Okay.
No. But Peg Leg Pop is my grandfather, and my
Okay.
grandfather does have an artificial leg.
Okay.
So that is true, but he was not a pirate.
Oh, good. Whew, good to know. Good to know.
He
So
did have a nickname for my grandmother, which was Minervy, but she did not have scurvy,
she didn't.
and she did not lose her teeth.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. I had a hard. Okay, so I had the hardest time with that. Not the poem itself. In fact, I loved Peg Leg Pop is on your website too.
Yes.
And that was so one of the first ones I read. But there was just something about that line in that one that had so it says that he has oh, my brain just shut down. Peg Leg Pop. At least let's see, he married a hag. And
Yes.
whenever I'm in, like, I talk in pirate reasonably frequently.
So do
In
I.
it's a blast. And yes, September, what is it? September 21st? No, that's Bilbo and Frodo's birthday. September 19th is Talk Like a Pirate Day or something like that. But always love it. But so, like, I had, when I read books to my children, I had, like, we had tons of pirate. My wife loves pirates, and so we have tons of pirate books. So I would always read in a pirate voice. But the other voice always tended to come out, which I don't think I used in these books, was what I always label as, like, it's my troll under the bridge. I think he first came out on a story of the Three Billy Goats Gruff. And it was just it's just a low, dirty voice. Like, it's just right here. And who's that trip trap trip trapping over my bridge? And that just was kind of the it became my troll voice. And so in a pirate voice, or that voice, were kind of like my go-to. But whenever I speak in a pirate voice, you say words like differently, and like you're going into kind of the mode. And so in the poem Pegleg, in the story Pegleg Pop, there's the line, he married a hag and called her Minervy. But in like old English, they would say an hag. So I'd always say he married an hag, an hag, an hag, an hag. And so it was like, oh, I had to like correct myself constantly to go, he married a hag and called her Minervy. Oh, I love such a good, she lost all her teeth when she got the scurvy.
I didn't know that. I didn't know the
no, it's the just, proper it's just, no, and it, yeah, that's the thing. It doesn't really matter, but it's just like my brain was having a hard time, like getting the words out because it was like it wanted to say an ag, an
you
ag.
You were conditioned,
right? And that's the thing. Like when you're doing an accent, there's a point where you kind of have to go, okay, I've got to have it understandable enough for people who are listening. So you can't go totally deep pirate because it's like a kid might not pick up what you're saying. And so it's like you have to loosen it just a little bit. And so, no, it was, I loved, I loved it. So I really want to know now. So if the Hook Man was your father and Pegleg Pop was your grandfather, what else, who else is, what other family reunion can we have here on
Okay, so my mom is Harry Terry.
Okay, well, I love that one too. It's such a great poem.
My aunt Susie is Snake Oil Caesar.
Really?
Yes, she is a gypsy Snake lady? Oil Caesar.
Or just modeled after.
She has an old soul. Okay. She is a groovy hippie.
Ah.
And her nickname growing up was Caesar. And so I made her an old gypsy lady and I just went with it.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I just noticed it's raining at my house. It does not rain here.
It rained here earlier.
So if anyone hears thunder, I thought it was your house. I thought maybe you're getting it, but it's, no, I'm hearing rain here.
It's not me.
It doesn't rain here ever. This is one of the three times of the year. All right. So if you hear anything, folks, it's just the rainstorm. Okay. Sorry. So the Caesar is your Aunt Susie. And
yes. Snake Oil Caesar.
Hookman, Susie, Scary Larry. Okay, is Medium Foot just fun or is that based on someone?
Medium Foot, I just kind of threw him in there because I love Bigfoot.
So he's not really anyone. So the pattern that you have in a lot of the poems is it's a great poem. It's, you know, they're rhyming, wonderful, they're going, and then like the last line throws you for a loop every single time. And so when you first sent me the scripts, I had I call my parents, you know, once every Sunday, call them, we have a conversation, we don't live in the same area, so I call them all the time, and like I was reading these scripts to people like, you got to check this out. This is so good. And because also I'm trying character voices because I didn't want to read them all exactly the same because they're so different. And so I wanted to give a little variation in them. And Medium Foot was one that it's just so, you don't expect it.
No, you don't.
In how it
that
ends.
Punchline.
Right. And that's how every one of them, they all have this Harry Terry. Oh, I love the end of that one.
I
so
do too.
Good.
That one's... I'm just partial to all of them.
Now, I don't know what our agreement with ACX is. I think I'm probably allowed to read these on a podcast.
Yeah.
I believe that's probably okay if we read a few.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I mean, they're all over the internet anyway.
They are. They're out there. You can buy them and you can get samples. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we can listen.
Yeah.
Should we read some?
I think that we should.
Okay, well, I've got both Man in the Moon and Harry or Scary Larry, Harry Larry, not Harry. I know a Harry Larry.
Harry Larry. But that's a combination of two characters.
Yeah, that's someone I know. We'll write a story about him later.
That's
Harry
later.
Larry. Yeah, but what should we read? Let's go from Scary Larry, which is the book that's going to be coming out in audiobook soon. Already available on Amazon. But what's one that you would like to read, or you'd like me to read. You can read them too. Oh, to hear you. Okay. Either way, whatever. What one?
I really like Fraidy Cat is one of my favorite ones, and I mean Medium Foot is a great story.
Will you read Fraidy Cat? And I'll read Medium Foot.
Okay, let me. Oh, I found it.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, Fraidy Cat. My mother made me take out the trash. All of the sudden, I heard a loud crash. Lickety split, I took off like a flash. I could have won the 100-yard dash. Through the dark, I scrambled back to the door. A screech pierces me deep down to my core. Goodness gracious, what was that? Oh, thank heavens, it was only the cat. The end.
Bravo. Oh, I love it. It's totally different than I read it, which is, I love it. I love it.
It's a new perspective.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. All right. So I'm going to read Medium Foot.
Yay.
Okay, Medium Foot. Some people think that Bigfoot isn't real. I'm here to tell you, he's a big deal. They say he plays hide and seek. I go to the woods to sneak a peek. I find him sleeping in a cave. I slowly inch forward and try to be brave. I tap him on the shoulder, and it all goes kaput. It turns out who I found was actually Medium Foot.
I love it.
Oh, so good. I love
it. Oh, that is so great.
So, that's
to terrific. To hear someone else read it after you've written it is just, it just takes on a whole nother life, and I love it.
Mm. Oh, thank you.
It's great.
There's... As an artist, and again, I'm not a visual artist or even I would say a written artist, but I know artists, but I play one on TV. My father is a musician, and I actually am more of a musician, but there's this kind of the relinquish of control, like when you are an artist, you get to that point and you're like, well, here it is. But to see someone take it, to see someone take it and honor it, and you go, oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Like that, it really is a great feeling. To see.
It is.
Yeah.
It's like, it's almost like watching your child grow up and take their first steps, you know?
Yeah.
It's just something I'm really embracing, and I'm just finding so much enjoyment in this.
Oh, that's good. Because I love your work.
Am honored.
All right. Well, let's read a poem from The Man in the Moon. Available at Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble.
Plug.
Yeah, right? really, like, if you want to get the audiobook, great. But you really want to get the physical books, folks. Like, get the audiobook as well. Then you can hear me read it. Totally awesome. But the books are beautiful. Like, you want them. If you've got kids, either your own personal kids or maybe you're old enough that you have grandchildren, they will love these books. Absolutely. Hands down.
They will.
And I know. I'm a book man.
And the adults love the stories and the illustrations just as much as the kids do, is what I'm finding.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. What do you want to read?
Oh, let's see. You know what? I'm just going to go with the title piece. Oh, nope. Nope. Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to go with My Friend Ellie.
Oh, Ellie really does work at the courthouse with me.
Really?
She really is.
So yeah, Ellie is
real. My coworker.
I love hearing this. Like this, like it. They were already alive because they became alive to me, but oh, it's so good to hear that they're really alive. Yes. Oh, that's so awesome.
She's my favorite coworker.
So it's all truth here. Why don't you read My Friend Ellie?
Okay,
No.
this is my tribute to
Okay,
Ellie.
do it.
My friend Ellie, with her golden hair and beautiful curls, she's a little bit different from the rest of the girls. She comes to work and has a snack, and then she asks me to scratch her back. She makes us smile and she makes us laugh. She's the best worker on our whole staff. She never brags, and she doesn't boast, but from a mile away she can smell a roast. Once I saw her sniff a frog. Oh, I forgot to mention, Ellie's a dog. The end.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
I love
so
Ellie.
Good. Oh, that's great, great, great story. All right, I'm going to read The Man in the Moon, the title piece of
okay.
the book. And this was the
Great.
First one I ever read. This one's got me hooked to
This was the first one
your
I
writing.
Ever wrote.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Well, here we go. The man in the moon is 10 feet tall. His bed is too short, so he gets no sleep at all. He has long, skinny legs with knobbly little knees and big stinky feet that smell just like cheese. But how in the world did he get way up there? A ladder that tall would be very rare. The answer to that won't come too soon, because nobody knows but the man in the moon.
That is a literary masterpiece.
Whoever wrote that was a
so.
Genius. That's all I'm saying.
We should find them.
I hope they
now,
wrote a
the
book.
The Man in the Moon, that I hope they did too, by the way. That illustration is my husband.
Okay.
But I do want to put a disclaimer out. He does not have stinky cheese feet.
Oh, yes. That's wise. That's wise. Okay.
He really doesn't.
Like, his feet smell wonderful. They're great. Like
love
corn
the
chips.
Fragrance.
Right. My wife says that feet smell like corn chips all the time. And
I think dog paws smell like corn chips.
Okay.
Actually.
Okay, so we got
I
a few feet
Ellie.
Sniffers we got going on here. Okay, Ellie's
yeah.
feet smell like corn chips.
They might.
They might. Who knows? Who knows? So you mentioned that Ellie's your coworker at the courthouse. So obviously
yes.
you do something else besides, are you a judge or what do you do at the courthouse?
I'm not qualified.
You're like, I want to be, I love that gavel though. Like hit that order in the court. Okay.
I work for the district clerk's office and
okay.
I am the criminal clerk
Ooh.
For the district clerk.
Okay. Right on.
Of Marion County.
So you get to be part of all the criminal underbelly of Marion County.
Yes.
You're knee deep.
You know, it's just sometimes a strange paradox that I go from, you know, my dream job of writing for children and then I have to switch back over and see, you know, the dark, seedy world of the criminal life of Marion County.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a stark contrast.
Maybe that's why you're so good at writing for the kids, because you're able to differentiate it so much. Like, you know, if you've been in a dark room, the light is so much more impressive, right?
Yes.
So
yeah.
you're able to go, hey, I'm going to really make this light shine, and
yeah.
because of that,
and scare all the bad stuff away with all this goodness.
Right.
The children's books.
Yes, absolutely. Now, you do have a few other books that are available, don't you, right now? Or are Scary Larry and the
I
other?
I have eight.
You have eight. Are they all published? Are they available out there? Or
let me count again. One,
where
two,
can we get them?
Yes, they're all available
oh,
on
terrific.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. I was on the Barnes & Noble app the other day, and I do remember seeing more than just the two. But so
yes.
what are the other books that you have?
Okay, so I have Santa Claus and the Reindeer Tales.
Okay. And is that similar to Man in the Moon, like rhyming stories?
Yes, they're all a collection of short stories. So The Man in the Moon, Scary Larry, and Santa Claus and Reindeer Tale are all similar in the writing style. Collection of poems.
Okay.
And then I have Pete the Frog, which it is just a single story.
Oh, okay.
It's not a collection of poems. And I have The Spooky Cat, which is just a singular story about a witch who loses her cat on Halloween night.
Right on.
I have another book called What Kindness Means to Me. And it is a story about, you know, really what kindness feels like and why it's important.
Yeah. You did a reading of that one on your social media just recently, didn't you?
Yes, I sure did.
I remember that one.
I have two books that are not children's books. One is a collection of ghost stories, true ghost stories about the town that I grew up in, Jefferson, Texas, and it's called The Most Haunted Town in Texas.
I've got to interject with that one. I've had the privilege of reading that one. And
yes. Oh,
like, you have no idea what joy that brought me. I mean, I grew up reading the spooky scary stories to tell in the dark. I grew up reading from getting them from book orders in school, and love those stories. One of my favorite podcasts is one called Lore, hosted by Aaron Mankey. And it talks all about folklore and things around the world and like kind of the origins of myth and legend and all this stuff. And so I've got a pretty good interest in, and I love regional stories and tales and just hearing that. In fact, when it was one of the ideas I wanted to do for a podcast was to do one that's just specific about, these type of stories about, scary stories and legends that are in, urban legends that are in communities around the world, country. I got the privilege to read that book. And at first I just thought it was like scary stories to tell in the dark. And I was like, oh, look, it's just scary stories. And I got about 3/4 of the way through the first story. And you made a reference to a building that has been moved and it's now like a podiatrist office or something like that. I don't remember exactly, but
it's a funeral home.
It's a funeral. Oh yeah. That makes it even more creepy. Right.
And my best friend lives there.
So awesome. So I'm sitting here Googling the funeral home, all of a sudden going, wait, are these not made up stories? These are,
they are not.
And I'm sitting here going, oh my goodness. So I'd get to the next story and I'd get like a few facts and I'd like Google it. And I'd have to like, I feel like I live in Jefferson, Texas now because like I have jumped around the map. I know where, I know where the bridge is. I know, like, I'm sitting here going, oh, wait, oh, that's where the goat man must be. Oh, that's where, like I'm sitting here, like, going around Google Maps going, oh, well, oh, that's where that, oh, okay. Like, it's one of the rabbit holes. I love that book.
Jefferson, Texas, I mean, it is a great little town, and it has a lot of history, and it's, a lot of it is haunted history. I mean, you could really get down a rabbit hole if you start researching Jefferson. It's great.
No, that's great. So were the stories that were in there just kind of things that you grew up with, common knowledge in Jefferson?
Oh,
everyone
yeah.
talks about them. It's just, it's old news to everyone there. It's just.
Yeah. Everybody knows, especially Diamond Bessie. I mean, she is just a local celebrity.
Okay.
There's a play that is reenacted every year, and it's a quite famous play. If you do a little research on Diamond Bessie, I mean, the story is just, it's a riveting real life story.
Yeah. So. Oh, that's awesome. I absolutely, I love that book. So I was Very excited to read it. And I read it, I mean, all in one run through, and I had to read it out loud, like what it would sound like narrated. I was like, I kind of like that. Sounds good.
Interesting.
But yeah, love that book. So, okay, tangent. There we go. And you said you have one more book after that.
Yes, I have one more. It's a collection of poems that I've written over the years. It's called All the Words There Ever Were.
Okay.
And it is illustrated with surreal art.
Okay. Nice. I feel I've read... did you post a poem from there just recently?
Or maybe yes, I did.
Okay, because I remember reading it and going, oh, I like that. Like, again, I like your poetry. It's good work.
Oh, thank
it's
you.
Good work. So, That's eight right. books. You succeed. it's like Yoda. It's not you don't just try. You do or do not, and you definitely do. So eight books out. They are available on Barnes and Noble. Not in your local Barnes and Noble, but order them online, and they will come to you.
Yes.
And Amazon. Are they all on Amazon as well?
Yes, they're all on Amazon.
Okay. So if you go on there and just search for Amy Montana Hitchcock, as an author, they'll probably all pop up. I know that's what I do with Barnes and Noble. I did that and like, oh, there they all are. So
yeah, you just type my name in and they're all there.
Perfect.
For your browsing now, pleasure.
For your, not just browsing, buy them. They're actually reasonably priced. They're not expensive books. They're very reasonably priced. So go ahead and buy the library. Christmas is coming
check
up.
Me out.
Yeah, give it. Oh, give a complete works of Amy Montana Hitchcock. I mean, that'd be a gift worth getting.
It would.
But I know the author. She'd like it too if you'd buy her books.
She probably would really enjoy that.
Right, right. Now, recently, you just did a book signing in Jefferson.
I did. Yes, it was in Jefferson at the most amazing place. It's called the Jefferson General Store.
Okay.
And it is truly a gem.
Yeah.
And the owners are just spectacular people.
Yeah, that's great. And you've got a few more coming up, right? Or no, you had some this week.
Yes. I don't have anything this week, but I do have three or four upcoming events. Some book signings, some book readings.
Okay.
And I've also been invited to speak to an art class about the creative process. So I'm a little nervous, a little intimidated.
Just send them the podcast and they'll understand because we've already talked about it. No.
Yeah, I'm going to send it as my stand-in.
You're like, Amy couldn't make it tonight, but I have this podcast. Please listen.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool, though. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited about all the big things that are happening.
Yeah. Well,
things are looking up.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And all from you mentioned early on, like, this all started just from nudging from your daughter or people around you that said, why don't you just start painting? Why don't you just do that, Mom? Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was, she kind of spurred it on, like, come on, Mom, you know, I really like this stuff. You should do more of it. And then, I've got close friends and family that have always encouraged me to write a book or to draw more. And I finally listened.
I think that's such an important thing of life, though. And sometimes we don't realize the support or safety net we have around us. Sometimes we can get stuck in routines and you just do your thing. And we kind of forget that there are a lot of people around us that oftentimes we don't identify or that we're grateful for, because we're like, they're always there. We're not grateful for the sun all the time, in the middle of the summer. In the winter, we sure would like some sun. And
we sure would.
And so it's one of those things, like, be grateful for them at all the times, because they're awesome. And I just love hearing when, people have a good support structure around them. I think most people really do have a good support structure, just we don't always recognize it. But you've recognized it. You know you have a good support structure, which is awesome.
I do. I really, really value the people around me and their input and their support. It's just, I'm just blown away. And if you guys are listening, I love y'all. And thank y'all. Because without y'all, I wouldn't have done what I did. And,
yeah,
you know, they're always there for me. They're a solid, solid group.
Well, that's awesome. Now, I've got another question for you. Okay. Who is Jolene?
Jolene is my hot rod. That is my beast of beauty.
Yeah.
She's a 72 Camaro that my husband, my talented husband, took a rusty frame and has changed it into this beautiful creature that I call Jolene.
That's great. So how did Jolene, have you always been into hot rods, or is this something that, you know,
is a tried and true Chevy man. He is into the big motors, hot rods, mm-hmm. racing, and that was his dream, and I just kind of slipped in and
so Jolene's mine.
Jolene is mine. He has another one that's just like it. That's his project car, but Jolene is mine and he's still working on his.
All right. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. I actually just had a friend that they just moved and he actually had to downsize all of his cars, and so he actually got rid of a ton of some of the project cars. Like he got rid of this 46 Woody that he had.
Oh, I love Woodies.
Oh yeah, it was awesome. He gave it away for free because he just had to get rid of it. But the guy who got the guy who got it was so happy. Like, it was really, you know, it was good to see it was going to a good home. You know, so it was like, I was really excited to be there and just see that, and I helped him, you know, push it and haul it and get it all up on the trailer and to be there and just helping. He got rid of a lot of cars. He still got a good amount, but
yeah. That's a heartbreaking, but I'm glad they went to someone that's gonna enjoy it.
You bet. Now that's something I've never gotten into. Like, I like cars. I appreciate them. I know enough about them to make it sound like I can talk about them. But once you get into the details, you go, this guy's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about, which I'm fine with. But I rabbit hole other places, but I appreciate it for sure to see the work that people put in and the knowledge that comes with that. So I love seeing Jolene
go and look at that. He's great. He's all about it.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Well, that's awesome. Well, Amy, it has been great having you on. I mean, I'm going to plug the books a few more times, but is there anything else? Yeah, anything else that you'd like to share with the listeners of From the Hat?
I just really appreciate you listening, and I appreciate you, Ryan, for having me on and giving me an opportunity to talk about what I'm doing. It's a great journey that I'm on, and I'm just going to keep plugging away.
Keep at it. You're doing great. Oh, that's awesome.
Well, thank you.
Well, I'm going to put the links to the books in into the podcast description, so you can go right to those. You can buy the books, the physical books, and I'll also put in the links to. I'll probably put the links to iTunes, the narrator, the audiobooks, and also Audible audiobooks as well. If you can't find them there, I've been posting them on social media, so find me on the Facebooks or the Instagrams, and the links are out there. But we'll get them there. Halloween is coming up, and Scary Larry, it's a book of scary stories. Well, sort of scary stories. But sort of. But they're fun. It's really fun. I would encourage, again, as a book lover, my mother's was a kindergarten teacher professionally. I love children's books, and these are some great ones. They're right up there with the No Davids and the, I mean, did you ever read No David? great
no,
children's
I
book.
Don't think so.
Okay. Well, this was my world. I was that a kindergarten
sounds
teacher.
So lame.
It's not as good as Scary Larry, but they're really good. David Shannon, great author, great illustrator. But I don't know him, so I'm not going to really pitch his books anymore. But either way, I love these books. And if you have kids, if you're an adult, if you're a child at heart, you will also love these books. So go out, buy them, listen to the audiobooks, and make them become a tradition in your family. They're great. They're great. So, Amy, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Ryan.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure completely with this. But for all
thank
those
you.
Who are listening on Spotify and on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, please go out, review, rate, subscribe. It helps get us out there into more ears. Follow us on social media. We're on The Voice of Authority on Instagram and From the Hat on Facebook. And if you want to follow me personally on The Voice of Authority as well on Facebook, I'm also there as that as well. But again, like to thank Amy for being here. And thank you for listening. This has been Ryan Pond, The Voice of Authority, for From the Hat. Take care, and we'll see you on the flip side.